Up. Thank you, Sandino, for leading us in that. Friends, once again, welcome to worship on this second Sunday in Advent. This is the Sunday where we light the candle of peace, and we are keenly aware that peace is not a reality in the world right now. Far from it. And so for me, it seems even more important to consciously light a candle that proclaims what it is that we hope for, what we work for, what we believe God is calling us toward. Family of Faith, I'm so glad that each and every one of you are here, that week in and week out, we go out into the world to do the work to which we have been called, and that then we return to one another. We return to one another for care, for support, for encouragement, and for challenge. I invite you to take a moment to let us know that you are here, either by signing the green pad that is in your pew, or following the QR code that's in the bulletin, or you can click on the link that's in the chat on Zoom. I hope that you will consider coming back this evening at 6 p.m. for our service for the weary. It will be a reflective time of prayer, song, and scripture reading as we acknowledge that not all of the Christmas season is joy-filled. There is real pain and grief and weariness around us and within us, And whether you are feeling your own weariness or you simply want to make sure that anyone who does feel weary knows that they are not walking alone, please feel welcome at this service. You can still sign up to be a texting buddy with someone in the congregation. It's another way to make sure that folks do not walk alone. It's a chance to be part of a group that checks in with one another by way of text. In fact, I think we're getting a text right now. Thank you so much to Pam Grugan and, Thank you so much to Pam Grugan and to Eddie for organizing this for us. If you have questions, you can ask them. And you can click on the link in the Friday Flash. If you do not receive the Friday Flash, go ahead and just put that you'd like to with your email address in whichever way you marked your attendance for today. Today is the last Sunday when we will have college students in the nursery until after the first of the year, which means that we have about 5 weeks plus the evening Christmas Eve service where we need help caring for and investing in the youngest among us. If you are able to provide some of this kind of care, please contact me or call the church office. There is a special delegation going to Guatemala this June for families of elementary aged children. And the time to start making decisions about that is, well, now. If you do choose to be a part, your child will be paired with a Guatemalan child for approximately 10 days, and they'll learn together while exploring and playing and doing games and other activities. It's a really exciting opportunity to expand your child or children's world. And so if you have even the slightest spark of curiosity about participating as a family, please connect with Henry Thurston Griswold. He'll raise his hand up so you know who he is, so that he can give you all the details. We are so thankful for the ministry of our bell choir. It is a meaningful part of worship for many of us. And today, later in the service, we get to honor two of those for whom the bells were especially meaningful. Belle Stoddard, the mother of Belle Tootin, and Sharon Bookhammer both loved the handbells. And we have two bells that were purchased in their memory. They're the big ones over here. Lauren's gonna play them. It is a real gift to have these bells in worship today, and it is a gift to remember these two wonderful and extraordinary women and the ways in which they are still bringing joy. Don't forget to fill out a prayer card if you have something that you'd like for us to hold with you as a community. Those are in your pews, and we'll collect them during the children's time. And next week will be our collection for the food pantry. The item is spaghetti. We were not able to get the name of our narrator for our mini pageant into the bulletin. We apologize, but I want you to know that we're so glad that Tyler Johnston is here as our narrator this morning. Today we will hear the words of the prophet Isaiah call out for God's comfort, for God to be like a shepherd who tenderly gathers the vulnerable into her arms. And we will hear the story of Mary and Elizabeth, who were able to find connection even in the midst of circumstances that were both exciting and daunting for both of them. May we too draw nearer to God and to each other for comfort and for connection as we join together in worship. Thank you.
How does a weary world practice peace? By listening before we speak and saying sorry when we need to.
By advocating for justice and caring for our neighbor. By practicing Sabbath and forgiving 70 times 7.
By choosing grace over hate and opening the door for each other.
There are a million ways to practice peace. So today we light the candle of peace as a reminder and a charge. With God's help, may we bring peace into a weary world. Amen.
It is time for the younger among us to make their way forward along the edges around the bells. And if you've got a prayer card, hold it up and one of the kids will get it from you on the way forward. Friends, I am so glad that you're here. This is the second week of Advent. Advent, you remember, it's the season when we prepare for the coming of Jesus at Christmas. That's right, like Advent calendars, you're right. Now, this year, instead of having one big Christmas pageant, we're having a little Christmas pageant each and every week. You guys are telling all of us the story. Tyler, you and Cece and Henry and Elsie and Catherine are continuing the story for us this week. So let's listen in.
Let's listen to Tyler. Just as Gabriel had told Zechariah, his wife Elizabeth did in fact become pregnant, even though she thought she was too old.
Thank God for this miracle. Maybe now people will finally stop asking when we're going to have kids. But then again, they might have even more questions with an old woman like me. It might be best if I just stayed home.
When Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant, the angel Gabriel came yet again, this time to a girl named Mary in a town called Nazareth.
Greetings, favorite one! Oh, so sorry, very sorry. My people are so chunky these days. I'm Gabriel, and you are Mary, and you are my favorite god!
What are you doing here?
I come with great news! You are going to have a son, and you will name him Jesus! He will be the great king that Israel has been longing for!
You mean after I marry Joseph, right? I'm a little young for kids.
Oh, sorry, I should have been more clear. This isn't going to be Joseph's child, exactly. Excuse me? Your son, Jesus, will be God's own son, the Messiah. You will become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, what do you say?
I will serve God in whatever way God asks of me, and if that means carrying God's child, so be it.
Yeah! Great! Oh, and one more thing, your cousin Elizabeth, she's pregnant too, 6 months along now, gotta run. Bye-bye!
I've gotta go see Elizabeth.
And so Mary traveled from her home to Galilee to the Judean hill country to visit her cousin.
Elizabeth, it's me, Cousin Mary.
Oh, Mary, it's so good to see you. You know, you look a little different than you did, say, 30 seconds ago.
It's probably just the glow.
Come on inside, Mary.
Mary, it's so good to see you.
Elizabeth, I have some strange news for you.
Me too.
I'm pregnant.
Your baby must be very special.
That's what the angel said, but I'm just scared. Joseph and I aren't married yet. And, well, you know how people talk. It's hard to be excited with so much fear.
I feel the same way. I've waited so long for this baby, but at my age, I'm afraid people will stare and ask questions. I've been staying home ever since I found out. Mary, will you stay here with me? Maybe when it's hard to feel joy for ourselves, we can still feel joy for each other.
I was hoping you'd ask.
Guys did so good. Well, if you want to know what happens next, you'll just have to join us again next week. See you then. Until then. Thank you.
It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were, and sometimes you didn't want to know the end, because how could the end be happy? Those are the words of Samwise Gamgee to his companion Frodo Baggins. There's a lot of the Lord of the Rings in our house these days. The twins just finished reading The Hobbit, and Everett's reading The Two Towers. These little hobbits, halflings, find themselves caught up in adventures with dwarves and elves and orcs and dragons, treading paths full of darkness and danger. How could the end be happy? Sam asks. How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad has happened? Sometimes these days when I turn on the news, I find myself asking the same question. Our scripture this morning is such a familiar story. It might be Cindy's favorite of the Advent season. These two pregnant women, one old and one young, coming together to support each other. They're scared. Let's be honest, pregnancy is still scary, even when everything else is ordinary. It's wonderful too, but it's scary. And here, everything else is extraordinary. Visits from angels, an old woman and a virgin, now both pregnant. Liesl Gwyn Garrity notes that we usually think of this story in terms of Elizabeth's support to Mary. And that's true. But maybe it goes both ways. Last week, we wondered about Elizabeth's own fears. How many times had she tried to become pregnant before? How many miscarriages? Elizabeth had pulled away, remained in isolation, afraid of what people might say if they knew she was pregnant. Afraid maybe of what they might whisper if this pregnancy too failed to come to term. There should be no shame in this, and yet we feel it all the same. In Elizabeth's day, all the more so. Mary was scared too. Being young, unmarried, and pregnant made her incredibly vulnerable. But where Elizabeth pulled away into isolation, Mary sought connection. And in so doing, she planted the seeds of joy for both women. As Reverend Garrity writes, perhaps Mary's arrival is what pulls Elizabeth out of her seclusion, allowing her to experience joy and delight. Even if they each cannot feel joy for themselves, they're both holding joy for each other. From that connection, joy grows. Of course, there's more to it than just being together. There's something about these two women, something that they bring to each other, that they bring out in each other. It could have gone differently. We all know what it's like when we're struggling, when despair for the world grows in us. Sometimes we get together and we vent. Except sometimes instead of venting the frustration out